and they were both working at Norton's, the grinding wheel company. And they were there for quite a long time during the war when they were in the Home Guard together. I come from a musical family, a singing family. Both my dad and Billy, the younger brother, they were in the local choir, the male voice choir. And one of the people whose name you would recognise was Charlie Kinnock, which was Neil Kinnock's uncle.
Oh.
They did have some success. They went to Aberystwyth in Wales and they got some sort of prize, whether it was the first prize or not, I can't remember, but they were all well chuffed because that's a tough place to sing in
Indeed.
Wales. And it was a good thing to be able to do, you know, to get together with a bunch of other fellas. Mm. That was during the war, of course.
So were the Home Guard duties in addition to their work?
Yes, 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 he was there for many years. Yes, he did. Just trying to think when he would have left. Well, he would have been quite old, 70, maybe even 80.
Really?
No, he wouldn't have been 80, no, it would be too old. No, he would have been in his 70s, I think, 60s or 70s, yeah. I had a bit of good fortune. When I left school, I got a job at de Havilland's, the aircraft company that made the famous Mosquito. And one of the lads there, Bert Weirden, was a drummer. And he knew that I was interested, so sometimes during the tea break or whatever, we'd be tapping away on the benches with a couple of files.
So what was your actual job when you were
I was just an apprentice, making a Mosquito, helping to make a Mosquito. It was a sheet metal shop. And prior to me joining, there'd been a tragedy at Hatfield Aerodrome when a German plane came over, recognised that it was an airport, and bombed the sheet metal shop and killed quite a lot of the people. Who were there, yeah.
So what year was it when you started working there?
Well, I just left school, 14. I don't know, so I'm what am I now? 86 now, yeah. So all that time, yeah. The plane, I was in a little spinny near my house, and the plane flew over, and he'd been hit by a gunner on the top of de Havilland's. He'd been hit by a gunner, and he was coming down. So I thought, well, this is going to be something special. So I ran back to the house and got on my bike and I vaguely aimed where the plane had been heading for. And sure enough, it was towards Hartford, but not in Hartford. They crashed in a field, and the pilot was just being led out by a policeman and looked like a farm worker. They were leading the pilot out of this plane.
Goodness.
Which, if I remember, was a Junkers 88. So the people I had started working with in the sheet metal shop, they'd taken over a factory in Broadwater Road. I've got a vague idea it was called Unity, but I could be wrong. And the strange thing to me was at the time was that nobody seemed to be talking about the people who've been killed or about the bombing or whatever. It didn't seem to be a subject for discussion. Whether they were just, I was only 14 at the time, whether they were taking me into consideration, I don't know. Mm. But whatever it was, there was I didn't hear any conversations about the bombing, which I thought was a bit strange. Anyway, I was there until I was 18, and then I got called up. I went into while I was at de Havilland, we had a little band together, and whoever was in charge gave us permission to use the cricket pavilion to have a rehearsal. And we used to get together on a Sunday. There were only three of us, and I can't remember the other. I can't remember who the other two were. It was clarinet, piano, and drums. And that was my first little of anything organised, you know. This was the Mosquito, which is known as the Wooden Wonder, but in fact there's a heck of a lot of metal that's on it as well. And this was a sheet metal shop that I was working in. And they were very particular about getting each part that you were working on, getting it absolutely right. The slightest thing wrong with it, you had to take it back, which is understandable. You know, there are people's lives at stake. Not really, no, you just get on with it. You know, you could go to them for help if you were stuck. You could go to one of the older people, you know. But no, it was just get on with it, you know.
So where did you get your instructions from about what to do?
Well, because they had a foreman. They had a foreman there. And if you had any bother, then you would go and see him, you know, and say, you know, what do I do next, you know? Yeah, the thing that happened, that the ambulance for me was, that's where my mate that I was telling you about, who used to play with files on the bench, he got called up into the RAF. And they had this thing there. It was rather emotional. They used to drum you out. They'd drum you out. You can imagine it was a noisy place anyway. It was really no. But the day that you left, they would drum you out, and it was quite emotional, you know.
So that would be with people's files and.
Well, yeah, whatever they could get hold of. Yeah, it just got louder and louder.
That's really interesting. Yeah. So that was when anybody left.
Sorry?
When anybody left the company.
That's right. Bert was the one that I remembered. He got called up before. He was older than me. He got called up and went into the RAF, and then I got called up. Yeah, that was when anybody got called up. Yeah, yeah.
I wonder how that started.
Sorry?
I wonder how that started.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was an old tradition or something. I can't think, but it was quite emotional.
Mm.